Transportation is a journey connecting us in our everyday lives. This podcast series, TRB's Transportation Explorers, takes you on that journey with meaningful conversations with the experts behind the research. They often have an early eye on how we'll build the transportation of tomorrow.
Today, we talk to Carlos Braceras, Executive Director of the Utah Department of Transportation.
We have to be constantly pushing forward and trying new things. We could be trying new things without any research, and we're going to make really, really big mistakes. So research is that tool that we use to basically attenuate the craziness out of new ideas and to give us that path forward so that we can continue to improve.
Hi, I'm Elaine Farrell.
And I'm Paul Mackey with the Transportation Research Board of the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine based in Washington, D.C.
Carlos is responsible for the design, construction, and maintenance of Utah's 6,000-mile system of roads and highways. He's also the outgoing TRB Executive Committee Chair.
Thank you for being with us today, Carlos. We really appreciate it. So leading a state DOT like you do, Department of Transportation in Utah, it must be a fascinating job day-to-day work. What does your typical day look like?
Well, thank you, Paul and Elaine. First of all, thank you for inviting me to be here with you. It's exciting to be part of the TRB podcast and look forward to being able to participate in the future. Well, that was not a simple question. First of all, let me just say that these jobs of leading state departments of transportation, whether they be, you know, at a state level or a city level or, you know, county levels or transit agencies, they're the best jobs in the world because, I mean, you are responsible for a lot, but you also see such a rewarding aspects of the job. I mean, you know, transportation matters to everyone, and to be involved in that is just so rewarding. And really within the 50 state DOTs and the two other DOTs, you know, the district in Puerto Rico that you see out there, they're very similar jobs, but it's similar to the U.S. DOT position, the secretary position, but we don't have things like aviation. We don't have the National Transportation Safety Board. And, you know, so there's various modal agencies at the federal level that aren't at the state level. And a day for a state DOT director probably is based on your personality as much as your style and what kind of, you know, leadership you choose to exhibit in that position. For me personally, I try to bring 100% of my energy to my job every single day. Everyone needs to find what works for them. They need to find that right work-life balance so that, you know, work's important and you should be passionate about what you do for work. You know, having that clear mission, having that going to work and doing something that makes a difference for people, I think is that really important motivator. And people can find it in so many different professions, but you need to have that clear sense of purpose. And how you support that, being successful in those types of jobs, I think is going to be unique to every single person.
That's a really good answer to the question, because just having the fundamentals right, because everybody's day is going to be so wildly different in a position such as yours. There's always going to be putting out flames of that of the day. So having the fundamentals down really can carry you through.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that's, we all like to think we can plan out our day, and, you know, we all have great administrative assistants that work really hard to make sure our calendars are all in order. And we have this logical sequence of, you know, meetings or, you know, work times that we're on. And I could tell you every single day, things come at you that you never in the world expected. And some of the things you're like, you didn't even know we were touching as an organization. And it's being able to take those in, not overreact, and to try to stay as calm as possible, and to then not try to solve the problems yourself. There are so many incredible people within our organizations that are experts in every single topic, and they don't need you to be the expert to solve those questions, you know? And so it's realizing your role as a leader is not the one to solve all those problems. It's to help lead an organization and help people within your organization have the tools, the vision to be able to actually solve the problems and do the work.
Speaking of solving problems, you and everyone has seen a lot of problems and disruptions this past year in 2020. And of course, now we have new administration on the federal level and at the state levels. So with all that in mind, with all these issues that came about last year, what are your top one or two priorities for transportation in Utah?
Wow, I only get to choose one or two, Elaine. That makes it hard. I've got a whole boatload. But first of all, let me just start with, 2020 was, I think everyone will acknowledge, it was the year that we do not ever want to repeat. But it was also a year where the importance of transportation became crystal clear. Everyone came face to face with how important it was that we have a well-functioning transportation system. And what was remarkable was how all of the people in all the departments of transportation around the country, around the world, were able to still accomplish their work, but doing it in different ways, doing a lot of work remotely. And, for me, I've got 60% of my folks that can't work remote. And that's the case with most DOTs. In fact, it might be a larger percentage in some. There's folks that had to continue to do their work and come into work every single day, but helping them do it in a way that protected them, kept them safe, kept their family safe, kept their customers safe, was critical. And the way people responded was remarkable. And so, we could look back at 2020 and say, dang, that sucked. but I like to look and say, look what we did and how we overcame and how we adjusted and look what we learned coming out of it. So let's take those positive out of it. So 2021, here we are, Utah, 2021. And I could tell you that I've gone through a couple transitions with governors now, a lot of new energy in the governor's office. And so for me, continue to build that relationship with the new governor's office, with his entire team, help them understand the role that we play as a DOT, and to help them help us and us, to really develop that team and that working team, because you sometimes take it for granted that once you've had the rhythm between a governor's office and a Department of Transportation, you take it for granted that you have to build that. And so we're going to be very actively working with the governor's team, his administration, to really stitch us together. And so we have one Utah. That's really important to Governor Cox, is that we are working together as a team. We're also in the state of Utah, I would say, I'll put this as the next challenge or opportunity is we're growing. We're growing really, really fast. Our economy is relatively strong. But the growth that we're seeing both from internal and from external people migrating into the state of Utah, it's explosive right now. And what most people don't appreciate, they think of Utah and you're out there in the Midwest or in the West in the Rocky Mountain area. It's very rural. Well, we have a lot of open spaces, but we're actually the eighth most urbanized state in the country because almost 90% of all of our population is concentrated along the Wasatch Front, a very highly urbanized area. And so as we grow and continue to grow at a fast pace, most of that growth is taking place in this dense urban area. We're having to look at new and different ways for transportation to keep Utah moving. And so when we think about transportation, we have historically been a road builder. We are going to turn 112 years old in March of this year as an organization. And you think back at what our history was, it was planning, designing, constructing, maintaining, and operating roads and bridges. What we're becoming now is we're strengthening our partnership and actually making investments in transit systems. We're looking at investments on different modes of transportation, such as a much more active transportation system, and actually creating linkages between all of these different trails that are out there and trying to create our active transportation network into a system that works together with our transit system and our road system. And so that's kind of a change for us. And so we're working on our culture with our employees, and we're becoming, more of a true Department of Transportation than just purely a Department of Roads. And, we've been on that path for a while, but it's really exciting to be, that roller coaster is just now breaching the top, and we're going to start going downhill really, really fast. And that future's coming at us. And I think we're ready for it.
How do you go about changing the culture at the DOT to think more broadly about the transportation network as a whole rather than just roads across the state?
Yeah, I mean, the idea of changing a culture, I think, is it's really complicated to do. And, you know, the first thing we did, the first step we started in this about 6 years ago, is understanding what the existing culture is. And, you know, so working with our employees and asking them, what is the type of place you want to work at? And, you know, we did this through surveys, through focus groups, through very small group conversations. And, you know, really what it came down to, it boiled down to three things for our employees. They wanted to be trusted, and they wanted to trust leadership. So they wanted to work in a trusting environment. They wanted to have flexibility. And so they wanted to be able to have flexibility in terms of how and when they did their work. They wanted to have some ability to decide how to accomplish that objective. But they also wanted the ability to make sure they get home and watch their kids' soccer games. And, you know, and we can, as state government, be flexible in those areas. And that was something that was really important to our employees. And then the third thing that they wanted to do and wanted to continue to do and enhance was work in teams. And you think about it, humankind, throughout time, we've all the big things we've accomplished, they really, you know, sometimes we put an individual's name on a big accomplishment, but nothing gets done if it's not done in teams. It takes a team of people to do things. And so those were the three things upon which the culture they felt that we had and they wanted to enhance. And so you take and understand what culture you have as an organization. Never jump past that point, and then start looking towards what are the things we can do to enhance that? And for us, we're focusing on improving employee engagement. We feel that an employee that is engaged in their job, committed to their job, understands what's asked of them, and they have good relationships with people at the job, will do a better job, and they're going to have more fun, and they're going to want to come work here, and they're going to want to stay here. So if you can create that culture of passionate engagement, then you get to the point where it becomes much easier to start to make this transition from the way we did things in the past to being open to doing things differently in the future. And I would attribute our success as a Department of Transportation during COVID of last year when you know, in the second week of March, when it really hit us in the face that, oh my God, things are going to be very, very different. That culture that we've been working on allowed our people to very quickly change the way they did their work and still be successful. But that is a major focus for leadership in any organization, is to understand your culture and to work towards making, you know, enhancing or growing that culture in ways that will allow people to be successful. Because you really want a place where people want to work. You don't want a place where people have to go to work just to make money. You know, that is true in any business you're in. That's a major, major role of, and what I spend a lot of my time on is understanding that. I always lead with this, and I didn't, but you know, the one thing everyone asks you, well, what keeps you awake at night? And so what's the thing that keeps you from getting that 7 to 8 hours of sleep? It's the concern about our employee safety. It's we never want an employee to get hurt or, God forgive, you know, lose their life. And it's been since March of 2013. I'm knocking on wood there. That's knocking on wood. March of, and we do more than just that, since we lost, you know, when we lost our last employee. And I would say that is probably the single thing that any state DOT director, secretary, commissioner, that is the one thing that they worry about the most.
Well, I was going to ask you, as you build with the thinking about the transportation, the changes to the transportation network that seem like they need to happen and are being encouraged to happen in Utah, and the change in culture that's in the process of happening now with COVID-19 and with the social unrest we've seen, how do you think that is going to change your plans for moving to a more holistic transportation system?
That's a great question, Paul. And one thing caused, you know, probably was the trigger, but there was three major events. Utah had actually five, but there was three major events nationally, worldwide, that I think really create an inflection point that's going to result in, I think, a very positive changes forward. One was COVID, and what positive comes out of COVID? Well, I think the strength of relationships, the importance of human connection, that idea of caring. I think people became much more aware of things that they were taking for granted in those areas. And I think as we move forward, people are going to be much more deliberate in reaching out, maintaining, developing new relationships, and caring and loving people. I think that's the positive I take from the COVID experience. We had the social unrest. I'll put that as a general category. And we all know what we were talking about. I mean, here in Salt Lake in Utah, we had many, many protests. We had things that we had never seen before in the quiet state of Utah. My little town on the outskirts of Salt Lake County had protests. Some will call them riots. So Governor Herbert, so he was our past governor now, he in June started a required training for all of cabinet, challenging all of us to do better as leaders and as an organization. It transformed me personally. Now I think all of us think we're socially aware. There's so much more we need to know and be aware of. And anyone who wants to read some very personal stories I wrote, I wrote three articles. They're on my LinkedIn page that if you're interested, because they are very personal reflections based coming out of that training class that we did. And we're now as a department entering into and doing training our leadership team and all of our employees, because our goal is to be more one socially aware, but also we want to celebrate and enhance our diversity. And we want to, one of the things to create that culture you want is everyone wants to feel like they're included. And that whole idea of caring, and it's, we've always had a list of values, but the idea of caring as a deliberate value of our Department of Transportation is going to be expressed here publicly in a couple of weeks. So the social unrest piece, then, I think the economic challenges that we're all facing and the challenges to our gas tax revenues, everyone's facing that. So I won't spend on that. But, a week and a half after COVID hit, we had an earthquake. We haven't had as big a 5.7 earthquake in the state of Utah. We had 700 bridges that were critical and needed to be inspected immediately. And then on top of that, this fall, we had a windstorm that blew down thousands of trees. And our people were out there now removing trees from people's homes, from neighborhoods. And I had, the biggest, burliest maintenance people you can imagine out there helping residents that are 90 years old clear up their yards, telling me that it was one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. And so, those are the five things that I say coming out of Utah, we went through in 2020. And if you come through things like that, and you don't say, how does it make us better as an organization, or how does it make us better as a person, then you've completely missed the boat. Yes, you can come through and be successful at that reaction, at that recovery, but you fail unless you come out of that and you deliberately say, this is how it made me better as a person or as an organization.
Let's go in a little bit different direction here. How did you get interested in, I assume, engineering first and transportation as a career in the first place?
Sometimes I don't understand how I got here. And when I think back to it, it's like I couldn't have dreamed this this path. And I marvel at people that set out a plan at a very young age and actually follow it. So I grew up in New Jersey. I went to school at University of Vermont, and I wanted to be a medical doctor. And you get your cadaver as a freshman, and I was just grossed out at that. And so what did I do? My roommate was taking geology, and he was going out in the field, and he was outdoors walking around with a rock hammer. And I thought, that sounds fun. And I went into geology. I got a geology degree. And then when I graduated geology, I went out west and I started working for a consulting company doing well site geology. and doing oil exploration, development, and North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming. And basically I was a nomad living out of a pickup truck, moving from oil well to oil well. And our company went out of business. And I remember having to deliver my pickup truck to Billings, Montana, just before, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And they drove me to a hotel with all my stuff. And there I was at a hotel watching football games on Saturday and Sunday and wondering what in the heck I was going to do. And I knew I had friends in Utah, skiing down in Utah. And so I bought a $600 pickup truck, drove down to Utah, got a job bartending at the Tram Bar at Snowbird, met my wife in that bar, and remembered a professor who told me, you know, if you ever want to get a job, there's going to be a need for people that are engineers and geologists. And so I had a choice to get either a master's degree in geology or get another undergrad in engineering. And I went back and got an undergraduate in civil engineering from University of Utah. And the whole idea being, well, I'm going to go into groundwater because that kind of works with geology. You know, so I had this plan. I was going to be a groundwater, you know, engineer, geologist, whatever. And there's this posting on the wall for a internship at the engineering building for the Utah Department of Transportation. I needed a summer job. I applied for it. I got it. I sat down at orientation just a little bit down the hall from where I'm talking to you right now. And I've been here almost 35 years. What happened to me was I kept getting opportunities to do things that were interesting, fun, and I never had somebody who told me no. I kept saying, well, can we do this? Can we try this? And nobody told me no. I can't believe how crazy they were because I made tons of mistakes. But I found a place that was willing to let me make mistakes. And when you know, whether it's design or construction, when you do something and it's done and you get to drive by and you show your wife, I designed that. I did that. It's an amazing feeling. And so it's just been, I've been stumbling along and opportunities have come at me. And I think the only advice I'd give people is don't say no. When you get an opportunity and a door cracks open, run through that door.
That's good advice. And you've talked already about needing to have a sense of reflection and a sense of ownership in what you do. And you seem to think innovation can lead us to great places. So how can we do all that in research specifically for transportation?
Yeah, I can't overemphasize the importance that research plays in transportation. I mean, if you think we're going to be successful tomorrow doing the things we're doing them today, the way we're doing them today, then you're misgiven. We have to be constantly pushing forward and trying new things. Now, we could be trying new things without any research, and we're going to make really, really big mistakes. So research is that tool that we use to basically attenuate the craziness out of new ideas and to give us that path forward so that we can continue to improve. You know, and I look back at these things that, you know, we don't even think about now that are so foundational in every DOT are the products that came out of Sharp One. I mean, those basic, you know, the super pave that came out of there changed our road conditions in such a dramatic way. You know, we don't even talk about rutting the way we used to talk about it before Sharp One. And Sharp Two, the whole idea for us, the big takeaway on Sharp Two was the safety database and the idea of operations. And I was so lucky to be able to participate in the help develop those programs. It was amazing. I think that as a country, as an industry, we need to be continuing to reinforce the importance that we are pushing forward and we are leaning forward and trying to learn new things. And that's why I believe strongly that Congress needs to support, I'm going to call it a Sharp Three. They can give it any name they want, but we need to now push forward with the next national, international research program. You know, when you think about all the things that are changing right now, we're having a convergence. You know, everyone likes to talk about connected autonomous vehicles. We have this electrification that's happening. We have mobility as a service. I mean, how do we bring those things to a point at which state DOTs are willing to grab them and move forward with them? Because as a state DOT, we do not live in a place that we get good rewards for making mistakes and failing. Sometimes when we make mistakes, people don't survive. And so we have to be very careful with what we do. We have to be very careful because we're spending the public's money. And so anything that research can do to help us attenuate the risk will allow us to then adopt new ideas, new products, new procedures to help us be successful in the future, because this country is foundationally built on mobility and transportation. Transportation touches every single person, every single company, industry. And if we're not successful in the future, it's going to have a very, very negative effect on this country. So it's critical that we have research to keep pushing us forward.
And you you have obviously been very involved with the Transportation Research Board. You spoke earlier this month, in fact, at one of the Transportation Research Board annual meetings, minority student fellows events. And, you know, I think Utah and you in particular have been one of the more outspoken people in really detailing how research has saved money for the state of Utah's transportation projects and programs. So along those lines, it seems that we need movers and shakers in this industry. And it seems like you've put a little bit of emphasis on, you know, young people, diverse people, people who haven't traditionally been as movers and shakers or as involved even in the transportation industry. How important do you think sort of that next generation and new and different generation of people is to this industry?
Thank you for that. I'll tell you, first of all, if any of your listeners are not aware of the TRB Minority Fellows Program, please look into it, get to know it. It is fabulous. If you are feeling down and you're not feeling energized, listen to these kids. I mean, reading through their research projects is awe-inspiring. And it's, you know, like I said when I did a little introduction for them, it certainly makes me feel dumb. They are so much smarter. They're just pushing the edge. And the importance of having, you know, one of the things I emphasize to them is do not get discouraged by what you see as the status quo. If you look out there and you see a very homogeneous looking transportation society, do not get disillusioned by that. That's what it is today because of how things were in the past. Things are different today and things have to be different in the future. So it is absolutely critical that we be intentional as leaders. I don't care where you are in the country, how diverse you think you are, or how little ability you think you have to be diverse. You have to be intentional to reach out to young people and to reach out to different genders, to different backgrounds, different experiences. And yes, maybe being not even people that aren't even civil engineers. This transportation system in the future is going to require people of so many different skills, so many different abilities. That's why I am so optimistic for the future, is because of what I see in these young people. And so get involved, help the TRB Minorities Fellowship Program. It's outstanding. And I like to think that might be my highlight of the TRB experience.
Well, Carlos, thank you so much for your time and so much for all the time that you have given to the Transportation Research Board, you know, in the past year, especially as chair of the executive committee. And you have made it seem here today that, you know, service to a government career is not necessarily the thankless job that it sometimes seems like these days. And your enthusiasm and passion for the topic and keeping transportation and improvements in transportation at the top of our radar. Thank you so much again.
Thank you very much, Paul and Elaine. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be with you today.
TRB's Transportation Explorers is a production of the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine. Ben Brown composed our theme music. The podcast is produced by Paul Mackey and me, Elaine Farrell, and edited by me. Thanks again for tuning into TRB's Transportation Explorers. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. See you next time on the transportation journey.